relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very proud to introduce our guest host for today, Jennifer Horn.
Thank you, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. I am Jennifer Horn from AM 870, AM 590, Salem Radio in Los Angeles. I host The Morning Answer, and so happy to be filling in on day number two of America First. And thank you for joining us. Want to remind you that you can always stay tuned and in the know with Dr. G at SebGorka.com. SebGorka.com. He's going to be here later, by the way, to talk about what he's working on today. If you guys didn't see it, he was on Newsmax yesterday, knocked it out of the park, hosting for a full hour on the network. He's going to be back today in hour number two of the program and talk about his experience in front of the cameras. He's big and fancy now, and let you know how you can watch him tonight if you missed it on Newsmax. You can always join us in conversation. 833-33-GORKA is the number to call. That's 833-33-GORKA, and I am here to take your phone calls now. It took over 6 months of congressional activity to put together what was released and voted on yesterday in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. They're calling it a stimulus bill. I don't know if it's stimulating much. But this COVID relief bill, in conjunction with a spending bill to keep the government funded and open, passed through both the House and the Senate yesterday. And guys, we were on the air when this happened, not before the vote. We were on the air when they actually posted the bill. This bill is House Resolution H.R. 133. It's a Consolidated Appropriations Act 2021, a coronavirus stimulus and relief. Now, they worked and worked and worked. They played political chess. And so you think what we would be expecting would be grand, that there would be some help in there for people who are suffering from the COVID-19 pandemic. Instead, what we were left with was a whole lot of pork and an omnibus spending bill. Now, if you missed how things went down yesterday, the House of Representatives voted on this. The Senate voted on this. There were six Republicans who stood up and said no to this bill. Senator Ted Cruz amongst them. Senator Rand Paul also on the list. Mike Lee. You had Marsha Blackburn and Rick Scott from Florida all standing up saying no to this bill, which we were stunned when the text came out yesterday. 6,000 pages, almost 5,593 pages of text in this COVID-19 spending bill or relief bill came out, was posted while we were on the air. We started reading through some of the things that were in this, and you cannot believe what happened. Now, look, as a conservative, the idea of a, and I use air quotes here, stimulus bill is not something I'm usually into. I'm not into bailouts, but when the government literally puts you out of work and does it for, we're going on 9 months now in my home state of California, when they put you out of work, well, then they have to step in and help you out. And what did the American people get yesterday from this spending bill? They got a big, fat $600 check that will be sent out probably sometime next week. Now, look, $600 is a lot to me. Someone handed me a $600 check, I would take it. But is $600 really what we're looking for when the government has asked us not to work for the last 9 months? Seems a bit short-sighted. And some Republicans, a few anyway, pushing back at this. Take a listen to Senator Rand Paul, who stood on the floor of the Senate yesterday. And I got to tell you, sometimes I want to hug Rand Paul. Sometimes I want to punch him because he's always consistent. Sometimes that works with what you're looking for. Sometimes it doesn't. But Senator Rand Paul yesterday really let it rip on Republican senators, particularly who call themselves conservatives, who voted on this bill.
This bill is free money for everyone. Proponents don't care if you're fully employed or own your own house or own your own business. Free money for everyone, they cry. And yet, if free money were the answer, if money really grew on trees, why not give more free money? Why not give it out all the time? Why stop at $600 a person? Why not $1,000? Why not $2,000? Maybe these new free money Republicans should join the Everybody Gets a Guaranteed Income Caucus. Why not $20,000 a year for everybody? Why not $30,000? If we can print up money with impunity, why not do it? The Treasury can just keep printing the money. That is, until someone points out that the emperor has no clothes and that the dollar no longer has value.
I love this from Senator Rand Paul. If money grows on trees, then why not just give it out to everybody? So for your trouble, for the last 9 months of being shut down, at least in some capacity across the country, what you get after all of this bickering and debate and blockages and resisting from Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats, you are going to be getting $600 if you make less than $100,000 a year. Meanwhile, the government is going to send $135 million to Burma, $85.5 million to Cambodia, $1.4 billion to the Asia Reassurance Initiative Act, and $130 million to Nepal. The amount of money given to foreign governments in this bill should appall most of us. And this is just a glimpse into how the government spends your money, your taxpayer money. This is why President Trump's message of America First really means something. Why does it mean something? It means something because we should be dealing with the suffering in our own country before we need to put our own mask on before we help out the rest of the country. Now, if you missed yesterday's program when we went through this, not only do you have a ton of foreign money in this spending bill, but the COVID relief package has a direction for funds to create a U.S. Senate daycare center. It has a package with $8 million in it to support Biden's presidential transition. It has mandates in it to make sure that hiring measures are in place to ensure diversity in the intelligence community. The COVID relief bill has $1.5 million in it for the Appropriations Committee's Office of Diversity and Inclusion, as well as lots of money for receptions so that they can pat themselves on the back for achieving diversity. The COVID relief bill also creates a commission, my personal favorite, tasked with educating consumers about the dangers associated with using or storing portable fuel containers for flammable liquids near an open flame. That's right. That is in your COVID relief bill. The COVID relief bill provides $40 million for the Kennedy Center. Remember back earlier this year, during the very first stimulus bill, there was $25 million given to the Kennedy Center. Nancy Pelosi's daughter is on the board there. And they fired all of their employees after receiving that amount of money. The COVID relief bill also stipulates funds can't be used for accessing pornographic websites unless it's deemed official business. That must be in case, you know, we need to do some investigations on Congressman Eric Swalwell or one of his PAC. The COVID relief bill includes funding to discourage teenagers from drinking and hooking up. Put them back in school. Maybe we deal with that. And the COVID relief bill outlays funds to address gender inequality amongst statues. Yeah, that's right. Because, you know, statues are really lining up because they feel that there is inequality when it comes to gender in the creation of statues. My goodness. Think about what this means. 833-33-GORKA. All but six Republican senators voted on this. Almost all of Congress, 53, voted no on this bill. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who I actually agreed with for one moment, it's a Christmas miracle, said that this was like a hostage situation asking Congress to read 6,000 pages of a bill before they vote, but she voted for it. And many Republicans did too. Most Republicans from my state of California, except for one, Tom McClintock, voted for this. Mike Garcia, who's a friend of this program, will be here to talk about why he did. And why he did is because of the pressure that now sits on President Trump's shoulders when he decides whether or not to sign this bill or veto it. The pressure's on. With the Georgia Senate race, the runoff right around the corner, the pressure is on to sign this bill and move on with no accountability to the taxpayer. 833-33-GORKA. Jennifer Van Laar from redstate.com joins us. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Thanks for listening. It's America First.
Sebastian Gorka on America First. Let's get back to the show with Jennifer Horn.
Thank you, Dr. G. It is America First. Merry Christmas from all of us here at the show to all of you. I'm Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka on loan from AM 870, AM 590, The Answer in Los Angeles. Joining me right now is Jennifer Van Laar. She's a deputy managing editor at Red State. RedState.com does some great reporting. Lots of great, great people there doing all kinds of stories about California, about the rest of the country. And she joins us right now on America First. Follow her on Twitter at Jen Van Laar. Jen, how are you? Welcome to America First.
Wonderful. How are you?
All right, doing just fine. Now, at redstate.com, where you are deputy managing editor, you have written a couple of pieces, and we're going to talk about them because one of them is a local story to Los Angeles that should concern the rest of the country. It's about George Gascon, who is our new district attorney in LA County. But before we get there, right now at Red State, you've got an article entitled "Senator Ted Cruz is Right: Congress Labeled End of Year Spending Bill COVID Relief to Cover the Pork." Now, there were a lot of add-ons in this bill. It wasn't just COVID relief. There was also funding for the rest of the fiscal year for the government. So all of those things were combined in this bill. But we just went through a few of the crazy things that were attached into this bill at the last minute. Now, Republicans and Democrats used COVID relief for their political gain or not during the last 6 months of the year. Nancy Pelosi would not pass this bill before the election because she wanted President Trump to suffer as much as possible. Now, with just a couple of weeks before the Georgia runoff, all of a sudden the timing's right. Republicans and Democrats are ready to come to the table and play, even when most of them were kind of disgusted at how this was rolled out. So what do you think the point is here that Ted Cruz is making, and just how much pork was shoved into this bill under the guise of COVID relief?
Well, the overall point that he's making that, you know, passing bills, of getting legislation done, doesn't put our nation on the path to recovery. It's just the same old stuff that happens in Congress and shows how broken it is, that there should have been standalone bills for the things that we needed to deal with the pandemic, and then deal with all the other spending separately.
Now, what do you think is probably the craziest thing that you have found in this COVID relief bill? Again, it's being shopped as that. News media outlets were like apoplectic. I watched Fox News this morning and they said, oh, it's finally done. The deal's finally done. They're making it seem like this is going to solve the world's problems. It's literally handing people $600, which is helpful, but that's not going to cover 8 months of back rent. So what are some of the things we'd be surprised to learn were buried in this bill?
Well, one of them, and I believe you and I are talking about it on another show, is some kind of a committee to warn people to not have an open flame near gas.
That is my favorite one. Yeah, I want to be appointed to that commission because I feel like I'd be a good asset to that committee. I've never set myself on fire. So I think that that's actually like winning. I think I could do well on that committee. Yeah, that's a crazy one.
And to me, I'm more of a Darwin Award kind of person. So if people want to do that, I'm okay with them taking themselves out of the gene pool. But that's
survival
not
of the fittest, right?
Right. $135 million to Nepal. What I don't get our strategic interest there. I mean, obviously, it's close to China, but that's a whole other rabbit hole to go down. All the things with diversity, with green new energy plans, or the Green New Deal plan, the Kennedy Center that got money before and laid people off right after that. It's just all of your same pork to everything.
And don't forget the horse racing safety legislation. Now, believe me, I love the horses.
Oh, yeah.
I want to save them. But does it belong in this bill at this time under the guise of COVID relief? Now, it seems to me we don't cover so much who were the yays and nays in the House of Representatives. But we are talking a lot about the six Republicans in Congress, or I'm sorry, in the Senate, who stood up and voted this bill down, who voted no on this bill to get themselves on record. Ted Cruz is on that list. Rick Scott from Florida is on that list. Do you believe that some of the people who voted no may be making a stand for a future presidential run in 2024?
That could definitely be a part of it because they're going to be seen as actually standing up against the swamp, which we know is a big issue and a winning issue among conservatives.
Now, what do you think President Trump is going to do? This sits on his desk, and it is possible there's a lot of pressure right now online for President Trump to veto this bill. He's in a tough situation, however, like all of the Republicans who had to vote on this by really holding their nose to do it because you've got a Senate race in Georgia, and it is the belief of many that having this bill go through is going to help whichever party can pull out a win, hopefully Republicans in the state of Georgia pull that off. Do you think President Trump vetoes this? What have you been seeing online? Because really the pressure is mounting for him to look at this. And in the past, he's promised he wouldn't pass or sign off on a bill that that didn't have people reading it first. And clearly, I don't think there's one person in Congress who can say that they read all 6,000 pages of this before they voted on it.
Yeah, there's definitely not any member of Congress who read that entire bill before they voted on it. And as far as I knew over the weekend, the indications were that he was going to sign whatever they came up with because Secretary Mnuchin was in on all of these negotiations. So that was a tacit approval of that whatever they came up with, he would sign. But the backlash is so severe on this. And you're right, it's all over. Conservatives and Democrats both are just livid that out of all this pork going everywhere, the American people only get $600.
Yeah, after all of this time, after government shutdowns, and again, I don't think anybody is necessarily saying that we want to have more stimulus and we want to keep this up, but if we're putting people out of work, we have to do better than $600 as a payoff for shutting people down. Now, Joe Biden, for his part, greeted the passage of the bill on Monday night with a tweet. In it, he said that we need to have more of this directly. He said, "I applaud this relief package, but our work is far from over. Starting in the new year, Congress will need to immediately get to work on support for our COVID-19 plan. My message to everyone out there struggling right now, help is on the way." Now, Jen, I would say that this bill isn't really helpful to anyone. Sure, $600 is fine, but it's going to everybody, even people who have kept their jobs. Don't you think we'd be better off, and wouldn't you be more excited to hear from Joe Biden? We're going to do targeted relief instead of broad relief for everybody, even people who may not truly be in need.
Right. There are people who have worked the whole time and especially government workers, they don't need it. They have their full salary. We know that the restaurant industry needs it. We know hospitality needs it. There's no doubt on that. So at least give those people and give them more. Give them $1,200. Give them something more, because if you're shutting them down again right before Christmas.
Yeah, I think that's the message to Joe Biden. I don't know if it'll be heard. If he is sworn into office on January the 20th, do we expect him to ask for anything different than what we just got? Clearly, Joe Biden has said that there is a priority on diversity. You can look at the people that he has appointed so far to his presumptive cabinet. He's put in people who, based on looks, check boxes for him and for his administration. We know when he talks about foreign policy, his focus is on systemic racism and diversity. So if we expect anything different than this bill, if Joe Biden is the incoming president, if he's sworn into office in January, I don't know that we're going to get anything different. I think we get more of the same. And it shows you the swamp is alive and well. And the only one who can really stop it is President Trump. And we'll see what he does. Again, the bill sitting on his desk today. Jennifer Van Laar, redstate.com is a place to find her, and on Twitter at Jen Van Laar. She's going to hang out with us, talk about the new district attorney in Los Angeles. You need to know about this. No matter where you live across the country, a warning for the U.S. from the streets of L.A. Jennifer Horn in for Sebastian Gorka on America First.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
Thanks for joining us. This is America First. I'm Jennifer Horn in for Dr. G, and happy to be here. Second day in a row filling in, having lots of fun. And I thank you all for joining us. Merry Christmas, by the way, from all of us here at America First to all of you. Joining us right now is Jennifer Van Laar. She's a deputy managing editor at redstate.com. They're a great source for news going on all over the country and in politics. Redstate.com is the place. You can follow Jen on Twitter at Jen Van Laar. Welcome back to America First, Jen. I want to ask you about George Gascon. Now, for those people outside of California who are listening to this program right now, George Gascon is the new district attorney for Los Angeles County. He was previously the district attorney in the city of San Francisco. We've told a lot of horror stories about what's going on in San Francisco with drugs and with crime. The streets literally littered with human waste and needles. It's a mess. Now he comes to Los Angeles County and is sworn into office 2 weeks ago, Jen. Now, there's a recall effort already underway because this guy, upon getting into office, wasted no time in rolling out his campaign promises, which I almost say is kind of like a communist manifesto. Tell people who are not familiar with George Gascon some of the things that he has done already to change the way policing happens in L.A. County.
FDNY firefighter Stephen Silver gave his life while saving others on 9/11. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. I'm asking you to support this cause that's committed to honoring our nation's heroes and ensuring people never forget 9/11. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at tunnel2towers.org. That's tunnel2towers.org. Thank you.
So he's set basically a no bail policy. He's told his deputy DAs to file warrants with a bail amount of $1 on felonies, even that they consider non-serious and non-violent. And those definitions change in California over time. So it could actually be serious or violent, and they still get a dollar bail, because he wants it to be on what everyone can afford and not the seriousness of what they have done. He also has a blanket rule of not charging juveniles as adults ever, even if there's a gang member that has committed multiple murders. If they're 17, they're charged as a juvenile regardless, taking away all enhancements, meaning if you use a gun in a crime, if you're a member of a gang while you commit a crime, if you cause great bodily injury, all of those are enhancements that can give people a longer time behind bars. And he has said, no, he's not going to do that. No death penalty. And
that's right. No death penalty. No resisting arrest anymore. That's not a crime.
No, neither is pimping.
Wow. Unbelievable. And not so all of these things. And you have the DA who has been really criticized by victims' rights groups. Over the weekend, the DA, George Gascon, was speaking in Pomona, and he was interrupted by a group of women who he did not realize at the time were the mothers of victims, including a kid who was kidnapped because some gang members thought that he had stolen their weed. They beat him in the head, realized he was still alive in their car, beat him all the way up into the mountains, and ended up throwing him off a cliff to kill him. And these mothers were out there trying to make their victim, their kids' voices heard. This is what the LADA had to say.
I apologize. And it's unfortunate that we have people that do not have enough education to keep their mouth shut for a moment so we can talk.
My son can never speak again because he was murdered. He was kidnapped, tortured, and murdered.
To communicate with you.
My son matters.
Can listen.
Killed my son.
Can listen to the outpouring and the sadness in those mothers' and those families' voices as the L.A. District Attorney says people are too uneducated to keep their mouth shut. Jen Venlar, this is important to the country, not just to L.A. County, because this is a person who received money from George Soros. Now, what George Soros has done, and people want to censor you when you say George Soros' name, like he's some kind of conspiratorial figure. But what he's doing is he's not wasting time with big political figures anymore. He's going after local offices. He's going after city councils in your city. He's going after DA offices. And this is what took place with George Gascon. He got all of his money and funding and the power of George Soros behind him and found himself now radically changing the landscape of already liberal Los Angeles County. What, tell us about the story that's up. We've only got about a minute left at Red State about the connection between George Soros and George Gascon.
Well, George Gascon was actually the mastermind of this whole progressive prosecutor project that Soros is doing. Back in 2014, he was behind getting $50 million of Soros money to the ACLU to start this whole project. And looking at the map, we have audio from an appearance where he said they looked at the map trying to see where they can win DA races so that they can get all of these instituted everywhere.
It's incredible. That story is up at redstate.com. You can find out more. This should concern people all across the country, not just in California, not just in LA County. Jennifer Venlar, thank you so much for being with us. Follow her right now at Jen Venlar on Twitter. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. More America First.
Sebastian Gorka on America First. Let's get back to the show with Jennifer Horn.
Thank you, Dr. G. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. And I want you to know how thankful I am for all of you. Whenever I turn to this audience to join a worthy cause like my Angel Tree campaign, you never let me down. You don't let down Dr. Gorka. And thanks to Angel Tree, kids with mom or dad in prison are reminded year round, but especially at Christmas time, that their incarcerated parent still loves them. And prison fellowship volunteer Stacey Campbell says she'll never forget the first time she got to bless a prisoner's child with a Christmas present made possible by donors just like you.
And it was a little boy answered the door and I said, oh, here's a gift from your dad. And it was just this, oh, he remembered me. And I think the whole gift kind of fades into the background. It's that connection and that realization that I belong and my friends are having Christmas, but I'm having Christmas too. I'm worthy as a little kid. And that's the part that doesn't leave you.
what a special blessing children receive from the Angel Tree program. But we're only about 72 hours away from Christmas. So now it is your turn to share the love of Jesus through a donation to our Angel Tree campaign. Just go to sebgorka.com and click on the Angel Tree banner. For a gift of just $220, you can bless 10 children of prisoners with personalized Christmas presents and a personal note from their incarcerated parent. Plus, every Angel Tree family is also given access to a free, easy-to-read copy of the Bible in English or Spanish. Now, it's getting late, but there is still time to make Christmas special for a boy or girl who really needs hope this season. Today, please go to sebgorka.com and click on the Angel Tree banner, sebgorka.com, to click on that Angel Tree banner and give what you can. We thank you so much for caring, and Merry Christmas to all of you. All right, talking about a lot of different issues today, that COVID spending bill, that's sitting on President Trump's desk waiting for a signature or not. A lot of pork, a lot of spending in that bill outside of the country during the COVID-19 pandemic. We are watching to see what happens there. Plus, this new DA in California and Los Angeles that is backed and funded by George Soros, and this new plan that George Soros has launched to take on DA offices throughout the country to infiltrate city council offices and to really get involved at the ground level. Forget about the big candidates. Forget about the Joe Bidens of the world. You start small and you put in the Soros progressivism, that plan. You put it in the cities, in the local cities, on the small scale, and you let those seeds grow and blossom. That's what seems to be going on, at least in Los Angeles County and in cities across the country. 833-33-GORKA, that's a number to call. Let's go to Stanley in Los Angeles on line 5. Hi, Stanley.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Doing just fine, thank you. Merry Christmas. Yeah. Tell me about, you said your neighborhood is looking already into the DA. What's happening?
Well, I'm involved with, I won't mention the name, or I'm on a neighborhood council committee, and we discussed the ideas of George Gascon at our last meeting and made a recommendation to the full council to vote on in a week that we ask the city attorney to investigate whether it's constitutionally permissible for the district attorney to institute this, and as well the city to prepare a report to what the impact of these rules will be on the economy and the public safety of the city.
I can't imagine the report is going to turn out well, because already the police are having their hands tied with defund movement, with the pressure from Black Lives Matter. And now you have a DA who goes in and says on the first day that he wants to review every police involved shooting for the last several years. And of course, changing the law immediately. These new directives already rolled out. Stanley, thank you so much for the phone call. Let's jump over to Harry in Atlanta on line 4. Hi, Harry. President Trump has that bill, that spending bill, on his desk. What do you think he should do with it?
I think he should have a talk with the American people, and he should veto that bill, explaining why he's doing it, and say, I will be glad to pass a $900 billion bill if you split it equally among the American people.
Wouldn't that be something if the American people could actually get helped directly from this bill? I mean, there are some good things in this bill, and that's where some Republican hands are being tied, because you have funding for small business. You have some funding for unemployment benefits, the moratorium on evictions. I mean, there are some things to celebrate in this bill. One of the wins that Republicans got is that they're not bailing out blue states who have been failing and failing long before COVID. But there's so many other things in this bill, Harry. I don't know what President Trump will do. I think he's going to be forced to sign it because of Georgia. But my goodness, at least a line item veto would be something, I think, at the president's disposal. Harry in Atlanta, thank you so much for the phone call. John is in Queens on line 3. Hi, John. You're on America First. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. G.
Hi. Pleasure to be on. How you doing?
Doing just fine. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Same to you. So first of all, about the $600 that's coming into my bank account from, you know, myself, my spouse, my children, I'm grateful for the gift, but I think as you have mentioned on the air, thank God I don't need it. You know, to me, it's not only a waste of money, it's destroying the dollars that I have, as was mentioned on the air already as well. Mm-hmm. So it's just so frustrating.
It's frustrating because we know there is nothing for free, right? These are tax dollars that are being used to be put back into the stimulus bill. And so when you realize you're getting $600 back, we're putting more out as taxes go up. And so is that really a value to Americans? If you have your job, if you are employed, it would be nice to have $600, but do you need it? Instead, would it be more meaningful to give someone who has been put out of work or a business who has been forced to shut down $1,200, $1,800, $2,400, money that could actually get them out of debt and out of trouble? And I feel like, John, that's the way to go in all of this, don't you think?
Yes, for sure. And back to what you were talking to Harry about, what can the president do? What can we do? If we turn this down, they'll vilify us. They'll say we're starving people, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard with the media being completely controlled by the left. We can't really make any smart decisions without being smeared all the way across.
And we're going to talk to Congressman Mike Garcia. He's from California's 25th district later on in the program. In the third hour of America First. And we're going to ask him. He chose to vote yes on this bill. He's a fiscal conservative. I know him. So we're going to find out what his reasoning is behind it and what the pressure was from inside the House and House leadership. Thank you so much, John, for the phone call. You can join us, 833-33-GORKA. You can follow me on Twitter at Jennifer Horn. And, of course, always follow Seb at Seb Gorka or check out SebGorka.com. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
Portions of today's program are brought to you by Prison Fellowship.
Car Firearms Group is proud to sponsor this segment. Car Arms, Magnum Research, and Auto Ordnance. Car Firearms Group, a family of brands defending your family's freedom. Thanks for joining us on America First. Jennifer Horn, happy to be filling in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. We are talking about all sorts of things. We've got the COVID-19, what they're calling relief bill. I call it a lot of extra money that the American people shouldn't have to spend on all sorts of crazy pet projects of Congress. We're also talking about this DA in Los Angeles, George Gascon, who's been funded by George Soros. And this plan is rolling out in cities across the country. 833-33-GORKA is the number to call. Let's see, Sandy in California on line three. Hi, Sandy. You're on America First. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. G.
Hi, Jennifer. And I hope Dr. Gorka is having a wonderful time wherever he is.
He's going to be here next hour. Isn't that weird? I'm going to interview him, but
okay.
He's coming in.
Well, I'm calling about this thing that everybody is going to drink without knowing what the contents are. And all I can say is it's a severely dysfunctional relationship that we're having with our elected officials, that they would agree to something that they have no idea what is in it.
Happens all the time. And this is where, you know, President Trump talked about the swamp. This is the swamp in action. They had months to put together something meaningful and straightforward to provide relief to the American people. And Sandy, what did they do? They put together a bill that no one got to see. No one had a chance to read. They put the pressure on everybody so that they passed this thing through because the leadership of both parties thought it was time. This is the craziest game of political chess that we've ever seen. And unfortunately, President Trump talked about stopping it, but he can't stop it without some backbone in the Congress. He needs more support. He needs people who are willing. And by the way, we need people that we vote into office that are willing to stand up and have a little backbone and push back on this. Michelle in California, line four. Hi, Michelle. You're on America First. Go ahead.
Hey, Jennifer. How you doing? Thanks so much for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
I had the pleasure of meeting you at the 2019 town hall when we all could meet together.
I miss those days when we could actually do live events. Imagine that.
Live events. Yeah, it was great. Dennis Prager and Dr. G and Larry Elder.
It's fantastic. Anyway, we've only got about a minute, Michelle. So tell us what you have a question about.
What is, did you get to see, read the article about the almost $4 billion unemployment benefit fraud in California?
I absolutely did. And actually, we will talk about that. One of the things that is probably the biggest atrocity, and Michelle, thanks for bringing this up, is that the unemployment benefits in California, which has literally been completely shut down since March, were not being doled out to people who needed them. In fact, they were stalled out for over a month. However, millions and millions of dollars given in unemployment benefits to people in prison. We'll talk more about that during the program. An interesting story out of California, to be sure. Next hour, Dr. G joins us. Jennifer Horn, in for Sebastian Gorka on America First.